Revelation 15 and just see where the Lord wants to take us. And my title says Prelude to the Bowl Judgment. So this Revelation 15 is like we just got out of the trumpets. And then he had a little break after the trumpets, and he began to give a prelude, like this is a synopsis of what's going on, and he's talking about it. And then he's coming to chapter 15, and then the first word in chapter 15 says, "Then I saw another sign." Then I saw another sign. It's okay, now you've told me all this, and now another sign has appeared before me. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. What is Revelation all about? Huh? The revelation of Christ. And God is using what? Excuse me. He's bringing judgment into the earth as well. He's bringing judgment into the earth. And this says it's the last seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. So there's a wrath of God being poured out. And I saw something like the sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on a sea of glass, having harps of God. Who are those people? Martyrs. Right? They overcame the mark of the beast. They overcame. They did not take the mark. They chose to fight through it. And I love this. It says, having harps of God. They were worshiping God. Even though they were martyred, they were worshiping God. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Right there, the judgments of God have been manifested in the earth. But we still have the seven bowls to come. And then he says, after these things I looked, and I behold, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony of in heaven, was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures. Who are the four living creatures? These creatures are around the throne of God singing, "Holy, holy, 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 holy," day and night, day and night, day after day, holy, 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 around the throne of God. These are the creatures I've seen in the back room, in the prayer room, that I've seen the fire and the smoke of God. And if we really want the fire of God in our lives, are you willing to surrender yourself and surrender the things that you're holding on to? Because the fire of God will consume it all. Ready or not, it'll consume it all. I don't think we really understand the fire of God. I'm still in that place of complacency. I'm still in that place of people can do what they want to do, but and then think they want the fire of God to come, because the fire of God is not what you think it is. There is a holiness to the fire of God. There is a holiness to the fire of God that you don't, I don't know if we understand. Because we're so lackadaisical in our life. We're so laxed in our walk with the Lord. We're so laxed in it. Maybe you're not. Maybe it's just the other Christians I see, but maybe it's just the world. But I think we're so laxed because we don't understand the fire of God. They used to preach holiness in the church. Holiness used to be preached in the church. Now it's compromisable spirit preached in the church. You can watch these movies and it's okay. You can do these things and it's okay. Where's the holiness at? Where's the choices at in your life that you say, hold it, I'm done. This Minions cartoon that came out, has anybody seen the previews to it? So some of you, if you don't take your grandkids to it. Because when you look at the prelude to it or the preview, they're making a pentagram. They're standing in a circle. See, they need to get monsters. They need to bring monsters to their realm. So how are they going to get monsters to their realm? They're going to make this seance, see? They're showing kids how to bring the demonic realm into the atmosphere. Don't take your kids. We got to come to a place of holiness in the church. We got to come to a place of holiness in our lives. Do you really want the fire of God? Do you really want the fire of God? The temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having seven plagues, clothed with pure, bright linen, and having their chests girded with the golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Chapter 16 goes on and says, Then John heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. I don't know the time frame of when this is. There's all kinds of speculation and stuff, but we know that it is at the end of the tribulation. It's towards the end. I don't know if it's one bowl poured out today and one bowl poured out tomorrow, or is it 3 days or 4 days. It doesn't say how it's poured out. It doesn't say. We know that they're consecutive as the seals were opened consecutively. I don't know if it was a month or two. I think one of them gives you a time frame, but it goes on. Repetitively, they won't stop. Once they are being poured out, they will not stop. And it says the first bowl of verse 2 says, so the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. I don't know the order from chapter 15 to chapter 16. But it says here that these people have overcame. These people have overcome. The martyrs have overcome the mark of his name. Chapter 16 says, so the first went out to pour out this bowl on the earth, and foul and loathsome sores came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those people with the mark are going to be judged. And it goes right into verse 3. The second bowl was poured out. Then the second bowl poured out. The second angel poured out his bowl of the sea, and it became blood as the dead man. And every living creature in the sea died. Not a third, not two-thirds, but the whole sea, every ocean, every animal in the ocean dies. Could you imagine the stench? Could you imagine what it's going to be like? Even after the seals and the trumpets have been poured out, there's more to come. And then he goes right into verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. That's even blue springs. That's the springs in our water. That's the rivers of life. Water is life, and he's pouring it out. They turn to blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, and it who was, and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For it is their just due." It's the judgment and wrath of God upon the people that would not surrender their life to him. On the people that took up they listened to the false prophet. They listened to the beast. They listened to the Antichrist. These people listened to the false religion. They listened to the false government that is trying to establish its head today. That governmental spirit that's trying to take over today is right now, this is it. They listened to it. You listen to the Word of God. You listen to it. You read it. You absorb it so you do not get caught away. And then verse 8 says, "Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory." Verse 10 says, "Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues and became because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds." As we talk about repentance, we all understand what repentance is, right? Repenting is surrendering. "Lord, forgive me. I've made some mistakes. Lord, forgive me. I've unlocked doors in my life. I've kept door chains or gates unlocked in my life. Lord, forgive me." Repenting means turning around and going the other way. Repenting doesn't mean repent and do it again tomorrow. Repent doesn't mean do it again next week. Repent doesn't keep me in living your lifestyle the same way. Repentance means to change. They will not change, even though I don't think it'll help them, because they've already taken the mark of the beast. But it says that they would not even repent or give him glory. Man, if you're into something right now and you're doing stuff, man, you need to repent. I mean, repent. The fire of God will burn up that stuff. Be so exposed. It says, "Then a sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates." How many have heard that Euphrates is going to be dried up? You're hearing that on YouTube. You're hearing that on the things. And it's drying up now, but it's going to be dry. This is at the end of the tribulation. This is at the end. So don't worry about it. It's coming. It's truth. And he says that it'll be dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. The reason these angels have been tucked away is because these are some mighty, mighty bad angels. Demons are what you say. They're not really angels no more. They're demons. And they've been tucked away underneath the Euphrates River. And as the Euphrates River dries up, they're going to come out. They're not out yet, but they're going to come out. And they're going to show signs and wonders to the nations, to the United States of America, to nations, South, wherever you want to say nation, South America. They're going to show signs and wonders, and they're going to draw all armies against God. As we get walking to the end. Verse 15, and it says, "Behold, I am coming," just as Jesus here in red. Yes, Iris. Right. They're coming, but they ain't coming yet, but they are on their way. I'm saying we're gone, but it doesn't matter. Be prepared for this moment. Yeah. It's in the Bible. It tells us they're going to do it. Here's Jesus talking in verse 15. He says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walks naked and they see his shame." Jesus said, "I'm coming. Hold on, man. Hold on. I'm coming." And they gathered them, together to the place called, in Hebrew, Armageddon. In verse 17, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.' And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was such a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth." Listen to this. The world that you know and that you see will not look like this once this happens. It'll be totally changed. Listen to this. It says, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. And the great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, drowned in the oceans. And every mountains were not found. No mountain ranges were seen. And all great hail," here's the great hail from heaven, "fell upon men. Each hailstone about the weight of a talent," about 70 pounds. 70 to 100 pounds is what this weight is. So you're thinking a hailstone could be about like this, you know. Is it possible? Yeah. We're already seeing hailstone softball size, right? I don't know what the weight of those are, but they're probably, I wouldn't want to get hit by one. Would you? It'd probably do some pretty good damage on, I don't know about your head, but it'd probably do some pretty good damage. Right? Just think 70 pounds. 70 pound hailstone. All jagged. It's going to fall on men. It's going to fall on men. "And great hailstones from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, since that plague was exceedingly great." You've got to think, all the nations are coming up. All the nations are being drawn in. All the nations are being drawn into this battle of Armageddon. And God's raining hailstones down upon these nations all across the earth. It's just not in one spot. It's all across the earth. All around, hailstones are falling. Social media, the all this stuff. What do you think these people, how they're going to communicate? I mean, phone, whatever. I don't even know what it's going to look like in 5 years. 5 years is going to be so much technology change. And people are going to say, "Look what's happening over here." But it's happening here too. Then in chapter 17, let's just do 17. "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters.'" with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. He's talking about this, the great Babylon, right? He's talking about this great, my mind's gone right now, but it's talking about this, I'll think of it in a minute, but I'm just going to go ahead and read for now. With the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit. So there's a little break, and he's saying there, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of his names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abomination of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Then the angel said to me, why did you marvel? To John, why did he marvel? He said, I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. He's going to give the explanation. The beast that you saw was and is not. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to the perdition. Those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and is yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains on which the great woman sits. And some will say those are the 7 cities, 7 hills. There are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen, and 1 is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the 8th, and is on the 7th, and is going to perdition. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as of yet. But they receive authority for 1 hour as the kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. And he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. That's you. That's you. See, he's given understanding of what's going on. I'm sure he's showing you this is who this is. This is what's going to happen. And here's the Lamb that's going to overcome. And you are the chosen ones, when faithful ones that's going to be with him. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are the peoples, multitudes, and nations and tongues. These are the ones that's going to be fighting against the Lord of lords. And then the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, which will hate the harlot, makes her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the word of God are fulfilled. And the woman who you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. I'm going to stop there, because there's too much. And now in the old church, when they read that, they would sit down and say, okay, now what? What's your thoughts? How does this pertain to me? How do I apply this to my life? When I read these scriptures, how do I apply this to my life? How do I apply a revelation to my life? Well, as I read these scriptures, and for me, as I read them, and I understand that there's plagues and there's things that's going to come into the earth, I think more and more about the people that are lost. I think more and more about my family. I think more and more about, am I living my life right? I don't want to be in a place where I have to walk through these seals and trumpets and bowls. That's why I think pre-trib, but it doesn't matter. I think we're called out, but if I have to walk through this season, what's it look like for you? If I have to walk through the seven seals that are opened, how's my life going to be different? How will I able to stand? Maybe it starts in 2028. Are you ready? Wonder if this starts in 2027. You're all going to be living. Wonder if this starts next week. I don't know. I know everything is laid out in the Word. I know that almost everything is done. There's some tidying up to be done. The nations and nations will rise up against Israel. Hatred for the Jews will rise up. Iran and Russia and Turkey and all the ones that are around are going to come up against Israel. People are going to blaspheme God. The church is passive. We're a passive group of people. Sometimes we only look at it for ourselves. We only look at me. What good does the Word of God do for me? And I'm safe, but what about the people around me? We forget about everyone else. And sometimes when we worship, we hear a lot of songs on the radio that say, me. And God do it for me. And God, I changed my life and this and that. And we've never turned our worship to Him. So we get superficial in our worship. We get superficial in the way we worship God, and we're passive because we really don't understand the power and the fire of God. We don't understand the holiness that they taught 20, 30 years ago. We don't understand that because we're in this season of grace. And we've been taught this grace. Grace, grace, grace. We've been in a season of prosperity gospel. I know my mom and dad, you and some of you have listened to how that has changed. The prosperity gospel has changed. And don't get caught up by it. I don't know why people would get caught up by it, but they do. Because their ears get enticed for God to move. So the word from Lucas was they have, they're malnutritious. The church is malnutritious. Malnourished. I need to give you a mic. Malnourished. And that is very true. Because we're being fed things that, or should I say, pacify you. Pacify to make you feel good. Churches are growing leaps and bounds because I can give you a feel-good message to go home that you don't have to change your life. You don't have to do what the Word of God says. You just come to church. Man, just because you walked in the door, you're saved. Man, you might have said a prayer. You might have said a prayer. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says say a prayer about your salvation. Did any of you read that? Pray this prayer and you shall be saved? Huh. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Call upon His name. Now, I can call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. He gives me a rope. I grab a hold of the rope, but then I can let go of the rope. Because I want to fulfill my passions and desires in my own life. And today, this is where we're at in a church. I'm not saying this church. I'm saying the church worldwide is we don't understand what China, the church in China is going through. We don't understand what the church in Iran is going through. In some of these places in Africa where they are being persecuted, legs and arms and bodies being cut up because of the gospel of Christ, you don't understand that. We don't understand the holiness of God. We don't understand that, you know what, it's time to stop doing the things I've been doing and start living holy. We all want to see God move, and you can go in every church in the United States of America, South America, Europe, Canada, wherever you want to go, and say, do you want to see the move of God? And they will say yes. Oh, by all means, I want to see the fire of God come. Then they leave the church that very day and walk out and do their life and never press into the power of God. Never press into saying, God, man, I really want to see your power. How many want to be rich here? I know some of you already are. How many when you're starting out as a young person, you had these dreams in your mind to be a millionaire and just have all kinds of money? You ever have that? Oh, yeah. Going to live good. How many is a millionaire? How many is 2 million there, right? Why? Because as an accountant, you know that if you put $1,000 a year, or maybe when you're 5, 6 years old, you put $1,000 in, your parents put that in, and over a course of time, that money multiplies. But then when you get to the age of 20, you have to decide, and when we have to decide that I'm going to put that $1,000 in a year or $1,000 in every 6 months to make that kind of money. But we say, well, you know what? If now we look back on our life and say, well, if I would have done that, I would have had this. And that's the way the church is. Well, if I would have done this 10 years ago, I would have seen a move of God, but I didn't because I didn't press in. See, we don't want to press in. We want to have God do it for us. God, bring your fire, but I don't want to press in for the fire. I don't want to build the. I don't want to bring the wood in. I don't want to gather the wood for the fire. Didn't it say that Isaiah gathered the wood for the fire? Isaac, I mean, no, not Isaac. On the mountain. When he fought against Jezebel and the kingdoms. And he had to gather the wood. He had to make the altar. And he said, here's what my God can do. He soaked it all down. He prepared a place for God to show up. Are we preparing a place for God to show up to put the fire upon our offering? That's the problem with the church today. We forget to build the fire. We forget to build it so the fire can come and burn us up. It's too easy to say, God, just do it. Where's our part in it? What's our part to play? We forget that God is almighty and he can do anything he wants to do, and he can do it anytime he wants to do it, and he can bring a fire down right now. He can bring rain into this building at any time he wants to. But where's our part of building the fire? Where are we preparing for God to set it on fire? You could have been a millionaire if you would have put $1,000 over and over and over every year. I don't know how long that takes, and I can't remember, but time you're 60 years old, if you had put that kind of money in and let it grow, you know, the stock market was probably $2,000 probably on the Dow when you guys were younger. Probably when I was younger, it was low. It's 52,000 now. What would that money gave you? If you'd have been faithfully putting that in over and over and over, if you would faithfully pray over and over and over, faithfully press into God, faithfully do this and come into the place of God. God, I want to see your fire, God. I want to see you move. Not only that, but if you want to see your life change, how demanding are you on God's throne? How demanding are you to go to God and say, God, I want you to change my life. I want your power, but I have to do something about it. It's just not God changed me. There's choices I have to make in my life. There's things I have to do. If we want to see the fire of God, we want on August 6th and 7th, if we want to see God move, we got 20 days. 20 days. And so what I tell you is press in like you've never pressed in before. Start to kindle, start to split the wood. You know what makes fire burn quicker? Man, we had a thing out there, remember that? We was out at your husband's lake. It was out the Huffman Lake out there. We had a men's retreat. We ate fish heads, stuff like that. Ramon, if he is listening, we caught some fish and he cooked us some fish heads and whatever else, and fish soup, whatever, something like that. But I had this wood. I brought this wood from, I don't know what kind of wood it was, but it split. And if you give men wood and an axe, they'll split until they can't split no more. That's what we found out, because everybody took a shot at splitting wood. And we got some kindling. Absolutely, we got some kindling. But the more that you split the wood, the quicker the fire will burn. More effort that you put into splitting the wood, the more effort that you put into placing, coming in before God. Not just splitting it in half, but pressing into God and just keep splitting the wood. That's where we need to be, and to see God move. We need to demand on the throne of God. We need to demand Him to move. When a child continually pulls on your apron string or presses in and says, "Dad, Dad, Dad, come on, come on, come on," what do you guys usually do? Eventually, some people give in, some people don't. But he did give in. He got us motorcycles and stuff like that. But usually, because over a course of time, it wears. And I think God wants to see us press in. I know God wants to see you press in because He wants to see your heart. He wants us to see the demand that you have upon Him as a dad, as a father, and as a God. He wants to see you press into Him. People are waiting for a move of God in this area. The church is waiting for a move of God in this area. They all talk about it. Nobody's doing nothing about it. He only needs a few people to press in. So I leave you with this. Put a demand on God's throne these next 20 days for the people that's going to walk in, but also for the people that's in this church. I want to see your cochlear implants be dissolved. I want to see ears opened. I want to see heart conditions restored. Cancer just dissolved in moments. Tumors fall off. Eating disorders done. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? How do you pray to God? Lord, my faith is to see these things happen. And if I ask you the question today, how much effort have you put in for this August 6th and 7th? Don't answer it. How much has it taken you out of your everyday life to see a move of God? As we cry for the fire of God to come, how much has that inconvenienced you to see the fire of God come? That's the things you need to look at. If you want to see something to change in your life, how much has it inconvenienced you to see God move in your life? We're men and women of doing the same repetitive things day in and day out, and if we don't get into this place of reading the Word, we don't get into this place of pressing into God, We just do normal life and we just live our life the way we've been living it because we're saved. We're a new creation because we said, God, come and live within my life. Come and live here. And we're okay. We're in. But to see, why did the church grow? I'm done. But why did the church grow in the first century? We said this a couple weeks ago. Peter walked into a city, an area. He found the worst possible case scenario, and he spoke to the situation and spoke to it, and the lame got up, the deaf ear could hear, the blind could see, and then everybody took notice of what God was doing. People came in, and he preached the gospel to them. And then persecution came into the land. Why? And people would lay their life down because if God was real. How many Christians will lay their life down for Jesus today? We all say, yeah, I'll lay my life down. I'll lay my life down. We all say that. But if you ain't been in your prayer closet, you haven't pressed into the throne room of God, I guarantee you're not going to lay your life down. Because you have fear. You have fear within you, and fear is of the enemy. And the enemy's got a foothold in your life. There cannot be no foothold of the enemy in your life. So I plead with you today, get before the throne room of God and press in. Press into the throne room.